Six guys and only two girls. Is that how many guys it takes to keep up with? I don't know. Wonderful. Ladies, you better join in, you know, get involved. That'd be good. Thank you so much, ensemble. That's great. Am I on this one? Can I move this? Okay. All righty. Take your Bibles, please. Turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. You know, I've shared with you that I, during my high school years and college years, I was in the grocery business for a lot of those years. And so I notice things when I go to grocery stores. I know that grocery stores, because we did it, from time to time, they'll move the whole store around. They'll restock, reset. And they'll put the bread where it used to be on such aisle. Now it's on such aisle. And they do that. You know, they do that on purpose. Because if you go looking for something, you're going to find things you never saw before. And so there are little tricks of the trade along that way. And I noticed, I'm not promoting Publix, okay? Not in any way, shape, or form. But I've noticed something that they've done on purpose. Because many times here recently, I've gone to pick up something at the grocery store for my mother or for my wife. And I'd have a little list. And, you know, I'm kind of on an agenda. I've got a schedule. And I'm not there just to sightsee. I need to get the stuff and go, you know. Well, I was looking for a certain thing. And I didn't have a clue where it would be. I was looking at the signs and all that kind of thing. And I see someone working a shelf. And I ask him, he's busy. I ask him, I say, where is such and such? He said, come, follow me, I'll show you. It's on aisle 7. Now, he didn't say, it's on aisle 7 on the right side halfway down. You know what he said? He said, come, follow me, I'll show you. And some of you are nodding your heads. That has happened to me at Publix, I don't know how many times, probably at least 4 times. To me, that's a lot in the grocery store, you know. I don't go there a lot. But 4 times that I've asked someone, and the last time I asked someone just to see if they'd do it. And sure enough, and it was a manager, and he was talking with someone else. And I didn't see anyone else there, you know, and I wasn't sure where it was. And I thought, I could find it, but I'll just ask. And I asked the manager. He was wearing a tie, and his name badge said manager and all that. And I asked him. He said, sure, it's right over here. Come follow me. You know, it makes it easier to follow someone when you're looking for something. But how in the world do you find the Lord? How does someone find the Lord? Look with me at Jeremiah 29, beginning with verse 10. The Bible says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. If you were here on Thursday night, you heard as we were looking in the book of Ezra and how that God prophesied, here he's prophesying that he's going to judge Israel. He's going to chastise them. He's going to send them into captivity. This is before it happened. Jeremiah was not giving good news. Jeremiah was not a popular prophet. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that some prophets were sawn asunder because they did not like what they were saying. But he said, thus saith the Lord. He said, you'll return to this place. Look at verse 11. For I know the thoughts. Now, this is not Jeremiah saying, I know. This is God saying through Jeremiah. This is God's word to Israel. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are seeking you. We're seeking your direction. We're seeking your pleasure. We need your blessing. We need you to convict our hearts and to shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray that you would meet with us in a special way. I'm reminded of the song, God Can. God Can. But Lord, there's so many in this world that don't have a clue of how to find the Lord. I pray that this scripture here this morning be a help to everyone, those that may be unsaved in our midst, and those that have been Christians for many years. I pray, Lord, that we will snuggle up close to thee. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. God is saying, I am thinking about you. These are private thoughts. Private thoughts. Do you see that in verse 11? For I know the thoughts. Now, the Bible tells us, who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? We try to think, you know, well, I feel like I understand what God would have me to do. Well, let's make sure that we have God's direction and God's mind. You see, these are private thoughts. And he will direct his thoughts. Private thoughts. They're hidden. They're hidden from us. But he can be found. They're holy thoughts. We find in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the vision of the Lord high and lifted up, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. These private thoughts, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Not just private thoughts, but they're personal thoughts. They're personal thoughts. God's thinking about you. God's thinking about me. They're loving thoughts. Now, if you can remember back this far, do you remember when you and your wife, you were thinking about betrothing? You were thinking about spending the rest of your lives together. Loving thoughts. Sometimes a wife will call a husband. Sometimes a husband will shoot a text to his wife. And what will he say? What will she say? I was thinking about you. In all the things going on in my world, in all the things in the business, and all the things, I was thinking about you. Let me tell you something. God is thinking about you. Loving thoughts. They're longing thoughts. Longing. I was sitting in a class in Bible college, and there was a young lady named Samantha that was sitting next to me. And she was just very fervently taking notes. I was thinking, wow, I didn't realize that what the professor was saying, what the teacher was saying, was that important. I better plug in. I may have drifted. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you're not supposed to do this during tests, of course, but sometimes I'll glance over and see what, you know, what I missed. And that'll help me, you know, spur on. I glanced over. And here's what she was writing. Samantha Williams. Mrs. Samantha Williams. Mrs. Samantha Ann Williams. Samantha hyphenated. She was just writing him and writing him all the way. She wasn't plugged into what was going on in class. She was worse off than I was. But she had a longing in her thoughts, looking forward to the day that she would walk that aisle, wear that dress, change her name, and her life would be changed forever. I know the thoughts. They're private thoughts, hidden and holy thoughts. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They're personal thoughts. They're loving. They're longing. The thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Now the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. His thoughts are evil. No matter how he packages it, no matter how he advertises it, no matter what he says and promises, I'm telling you, Satan has no goal but to dishonor the name of Almighty God and to destroy you from serving him. That is his goal. But now God is the opposite. He said, I have thoughts of peace and not of evil. These are calming thoughts. Calming thoughts. We've had storms. Harvey, Irma, you know. I had, in Pensacola, we had a hurricane when I was there. We were there serving for 5 years at church. And it was coming up on what we call God and Country Day. It was the 4th of July Sunday. And we had a big deal planned. I mean, the choir had all the stuff, you know, prepared and some soldiers and a little scene, you know, the flag, Iwo Jima scene. All this. We had a big meal planned and all that. Well, that particular year, I don't know if it was Aaron or Opal, but one of them was coming supposedly our way. And so Pastor Godfrey that I served with there, he had to make a terrible, hard decision. It was coming on Saturday night, supposed to landfall, and it was barreling down on Pensacola. Barreling down on Pensacola from the Gulf. It was supposed to hit land about 4 a.m., something like that. So we notified the church and told everyone, hunker down, pray one for another, we'll not have church. Well, in the middle of the night, that thing changed directions. And it went west of Mobile, and I showed up at the church about 7:45 that morning, 8 o'clock, something like that, just because, you know, it was Sunday morning. Showed up, not a cloud in the sky. No way to reach everyone. This is before all the technology of, you know, texting and all that kind of thing. There was no way we could reach everyone in time. Pastor pulled in. He just walked in like this. I can't believe this. This is awful. This is awful. I'll tell you something. There was a great calm in Pensacola. Comforting thoughts. Calming thoughts. That's what God wants to offer. Brother Tom, let's see. I saw you just a few moments ago. We talked right over here. Yes, sir, right here. Brother Tom was telling me, saying, do you mind me saying this, sir? Okay. He was telling me before church, he said, continue to pray for me. He said, they discovered that I have pancreatic cancer. And we have been praying for him. But I didn't realize this diagnosis. But you know, God is able, on one hand, he's able to speak the word and heal the most devastating disease if he chooses. Amen. He is the great physician. He is the healer. And he is likewise able to give the grace that he can go through this storm as God directs, bring glory to his precious name. He's able to do both. He gives comfort. He gives calmness. That's what comes from the Lord. Doesn't come from Satan, and it certainly doesn't come from man. It comes from God. For I know the thoughts, their private thoughts, that I think towards you, their personal thoughts. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. They're peaceful thoughts. To give you an expected end. They're purposeful thoughts. God has a plan. to give you an expected end. That word expected end in the original has the idea of a cord. A cord. I traveled with Neighborhood Bible Time for 2 summers as a youth evangelist. And in the preschool department, you know, those 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, those little precious ones. In the preschool, they used something that I thought was very unique, and it wasn't something new idea. I just hadn't really been around preschoolers that much, and I thought, boy, that is so neat, because I saw it work time and time and time again perfectly, perfectly. What they did was, when they had to leave the classroom and they had to go outside for refreshments, you know what they did? They didn't say, okay, let's go get our refreshments. You tell that to 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, you know what's going to happen? So in the class, you know what they did? They had a rope. They said, okay, boys and girls, everybody grab the rope. Everybody grab the rope. The teacher was in the front. And the teacher said, okay, we're going to go get our refreshments now. And like little ants, all in a row. I know that. I've seen it happen up at the office. Little ants. They all follow. All have hold of that rope. And they're walking in perfectly good order, and they're content about it. A cord, both for direction and for delivery. There's another cord that's precious. When a dear mama-to-be is about to deliver, but there's that cord that provides all that that little baby needs. All the nourishment, all the sustenance, everything that that baby needs in that umbilical cord. An expected end. We can trust him because of the expected end. Romans 8:28, many of us can quote, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But sometimes we miss the next verse. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. He's saying when God in his omniscience in eternity past looked ahead and looked forward and saw on April 10th, 1970, the 6-year-old boy named Mark would place his faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to take me to heaven. He saw that in eternity past, and he predetermined that because of my decision that I would be his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that he would work on me and work on me and work on me, shaping me in the image of Christ, and knowing this, that one day there's an expected end, because when I see him, I'll be like him. There's an expected end. And he said, I will make sure that happens. It's my purpose. It is my plan. And God's purposes and God's plans always come true. This pictures, verse 11, if you're jotting something down, those the private thoughts, personal thoughts, the peaceful thoughts, and the purposeful thoughts, it pictures us following the grace of God. Grace is simply God doing for us before we can do for him. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he did for us before we could do a thing for him, following God's grace. Look at the next verse, verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Following the grace of God and his wonderful thoughts towards us, the Bible says in verse 12, if we're going to find the Lord, we're going to faithfully go to God. Faithfully go to God. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, Jeremiah 33:3. If we're going to find the Lord, we're going to have to follow his grace. There's not one of us that can find him. His thoughts are hidden. He has to reveal himself to us. And as he does, then we faithfully go to him. These are people, Israelites, these are people who were going to be coming out of chastisement. And he said, when this is over, come on back. Come on back. And then last, let me show you something quickly. Verse number 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with what? All your heart. With all your heart. I've circled that word all in my Bible. If you're going to follow the grace of God, if you're going to faithfully go to God, then he says, third and importantly, we need to fully glorify God. That means he's number one. That means I set aside my wishes, my dreams, my aspirations, my goals. I say, God, it's all about you. It's not about me. Fully glorifying God. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And verse 14, the first seven words says, and I will be found of you. Great principles of God's word. God says that he can be found. I was a camp counselor, Harrison, Tennessee, at Camp Joy. It was girls' week, so us guys, we didn't have a lot of responsibilities. We didn't have campers to keep up with all the time. We had sometimes during girls' weeks, some of the guys worked at with the horses, you know. Some of the guys worked at different places. My particular job was I got to be in the kitchen. Didn't like that. But anyway, that's a lot I drew. But if we weren't preparing for a meal, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or if we weren't cleaning up after the meal, then we had some free time. And so I took my New Testament and went across the street. Across the street, there was a church, Lakewood Baptist Church, and there was some woods. And so I just went out in the woods, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to spend some time with the Lord. And I got out far enough that I could sing without anybody, you know, probably, you know, hearing it. I just let her rip. I enjoyed doing that. Just singing for an audience of one. That's all. Just singing to the Lord. And I was just walking around so I'm looking at my watch and I'm thinking, okay, I've got to be back at the kitchen at 4. We've got to get ready for dinner. And it's almost 3:00. I thought, well, I better, you know, get back and want to go back to the room and maybe do a couple things, you know, and then be at the kitchen at 4. So I start heading back. I didn't realize that beyond the house and the church, beyond that was nothing but woods. I hadn't paid very close attention to where I was just singing. I was just walking. I was just, you know, just having time with the Lord and just enjoying nature and all this. It was now 4:05. And I did not have a clue where I was still. I wasn't worried about the kitchen anymore. I was worried about, you know, if I was going to make it home at all that night, perhaps ever. I was in the Harrison Bay Forest. Had no cell phone, you know. And I'm saying, Lord, what do I do? I mean, you know, I everywhere I go, I don't know if I'm going farther away or if I'm going in the right direction. Don't have a clue. I looked up, and I saw some high tension power electric lines. Those big, you know, things with the arms and stuff. I just caught a glimpse of it. I thought, I know that they cut down the woods where those wires are. Maybe I'll go there. Maybe I can somehow see, because I'm just surrounded by, I can't see beyond that back wall. I just don't know what direction to go. And I went. And sure enough, when I got there, I saw all miles down this way, miles down that way. I thought, well, these electric wires really have to go somewhere. So I started down the way, and it wasn't long till I looked down to my right. There was a clearing, and I saw a house down there. Thank you, Lord! Made my way down to the house. I was about a mile and a half down from the camp, but I was thrilled to be on a road. A road back home. Listen, folks. If you want to find the Lord, the best and the easiest way is to go to a different hill and go to a different structure. It's called the cross. And go to Jesus. If you've not been saved, the only way you'll find the Lord is through Jesus Christ. And if you are a Christian, the only way that you will follow the Lord is through Jesus Christ. He's our good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Let's bow our heads together, please. The Bible says that ye shall find me when ye search for me with all your heart. Christians, let me speak to you first for a moment, if I might. In your personal life, you may be at a valley of decision. You may be carrying a burden that you don't know the answer to. Let me encourage you. Come to the one who does. Your Lord Jesus understands. He knows. He is able to speak the word. He's able to give you grace. But you must seek for him with all your heart. That means push everything else aside. And say, Lord, I want you. I'm going to stand before you one day. I want to please you. Sir, ma'am, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to meet him one day. And that day when you meet him, he will not be your Savior. He will be your judge. I invite you to come to him. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, Jesus said. You come to him before he goes to you in judgment. If you'll come to him, he'll forgive your sin. He'll save your soul. I speak to the church. There ought to be many of us that would say, oh, dear God, we need you. I need you in the center focus of my life. I need to hear from you. How do you find the Lord? You follow the grace of God. You faithfully go to him in prayer. And you fully glorify him in your life. And then he said, I will be found of you. Let's stand to our feet, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Lord Jesus, we need you. We need you in our heart, in our life, in our family, in our church, in our nation. We need you. I confess I'm nothing before your eyes. We humble ourselves. We ask for your grace. We go to you in prayer. We plead that we will glorify you fully in everything we say and do. Lord, I pray that there would be people of God that we would humble ourselves, bow the knee, hang our head, and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If God has dealt with your heart and you would say, I don't want to meet Jesus as my judge. I want to come to him today as my Savior. I'm going to ask you to come to the nearest aisle and come down here. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. For the rest of the believers in here, I invite you to do what God tells you to do. And if God tells you to come forward, don't disobey his call. I invite you to take God at his word and find the Lord. As we sing, Brother Delisle is going to